Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Welcome into this interview, everybody. This is Jason Dezurek, and I'm thrilled that you are with us today. I have a wonderful guest in, but before we get to him, I wanted to just remind you, go to donotkeepsilent.com. That is donotkeepsilent.com for more information. And due to time, let's just get into the interview. I'm interviewing a guy who is an internationally recognized speaker and author. He has shared the gospel face-to-face with an estimated 4 million people in 30 countries in the past 10 years. He has both authored and co-authored books and Bible studies. And he has also been a featured speaker at numerous high-profile conferences, Ivy League and college campuses, and the largest men's event and music festival in the nation. In the history of Mike Silva International, over 200,000 first-time decisions have been made for Christ through international and domestic festivals. There is so much we can talk about this gentleman, but he is married as well. He is obviously a committed follower of Jesus Christ, devoted to his wife, Crystal, and their four daughters. Wow, that's all I can say there. And he makes his home in Oregon. And welcome with us, if you would, everyone, Mike Silva. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Jason. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Yeah, I am thrilled that you are with us. And you can find out information at MikeSilva.com. That is Mike, SLIVA.org, excuse me, MikeSilva.org. You can find out information there about Mike and his ministry. And Mike, if you would, just let's get into it. If we can, let's get right to the National Backpack Outreach. If you can, you explain what that is and why it's so important?
Well, basically, it's just an opportunity for the church. It's an opportunity for Christians, Jason, in general, to be able to do something, i.e., provide a gift of a backpack filled with whether it's needed school supplies or food in this day and age, and the economy in which we live. Maybe it would be filled with food, and if everybody would do it at the same time, at the same weekend, at somebody's local church, and maybe set up some tables out in a parking lot of the church or something, and have it advertised, we could literally see hundreds of people, non-church people, those that do not yet know him people, come to us. They would come to us to
yes.
receive the gifts for their children, and then when they do, that gives us an opportunity to be able to get to know them, build a relationship with them, so that they are not strangers to us and we are not strangers to them. So I think it's a powerful evangelistic tool. If the church can get together and do it together, I think it can have a great impact.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, I mean, you could, instead of just having to give away a backpack, I mean, you could also, you know, maybe even have, you know, hey, we're going to have lunch out here today on Saturday, and let's just have a big picnic.
There you go.
You know?
I mean, that we've done that, and that works fabulous. And this thing can be as large as you want it to be. We know of a church actually in Humboldt Park, Chicago, in the Chicago area, and they literally have, Jason, they've got 15,000 people that are not a part of the church. Now, of course, Chicago is a huge metropolitan area, but they have up to 15,000 people come. They not only give the backpacks, but they have mobile medical units on site. They have they give free haircuts. They have chiropractors on site, physicians on site, dentists with mobile dental chairs doing work for free. I mean, it can go on and on. This thing could be so big. Trust me, the mayor of your city, wherever you live, all of a sudden they would become the best friend of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
If the church would rise up and say, hey, we're going to do what the state can't do, what the city can't do, what the government can't do, what the feds can't do, we are going to step up and serve people and love people. And trust me, in this day and age, that gets the attention of the local media. I promise it does.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, too, let's keep in mind, everybody out there listening, that really the point of this is to do it out of love. You know, yes, we want people to come into the church, absolutely. But if you're just handing out backpacks or whatever it might be you're doing, and you're doing it not in love, you're just, you know, here you go. How about let's do it in love and really right. build a relationship with these people, you know, because the reality is, you know, you can, you know, give things away like that, but you got to get to know them. Get to know your neighbors. It's okay, right?
Yes, there you go. There you go. Absolutely.
You know, too, you are an author of a book called Number One Man. And, you know, what I like, too, is you actually have, the first chapter is It All Starts With You. I think that's the name of it. Can you go into that book a little bit and help people understand what that book's all about?
Well, we have four daughters, so you can imagine raising four girls. They're all adults now, and three of the four are married, and so we've kind of come through. We've come through every phase that there is, you know. it seems like, and we're still alive to tell about it. And more than that, our girls are just absolutely sensational. They love us. They love the Lord. They love their spouses. And we consider it a great privilege to have our daughters now and their husbands be, they're just our best friends in the world. So we wrote the book, Number One Man, what every father desires, what every daughter needs. And so we put a book together that I think will help people with a lot of practical steps. And it's not a I'm a perfect father, look what I did. It's I'm a father that has made more mistakes than most of you, so get in line behind me. And let me tell you the things that I did wrong so that you could learn from them and you don't have to. So that's what we did. And, of course, our girls wrote in the book also.
Oh, that's exciting. You know, for our listeners out there who are, you know, let's say just going through this, maybe they're just hitting puberty, they're girls.
Uh-huh.
You know, is there anything you would share to our listeners of, you know, what you've experienced personally, what seemed to at least work for you?
Jason,
I say that because we're all different.
Jason, I would say cinch up your seatbelt and make sure you're taking your multiple vitamin because you are going to need it. That's what I would say.
Okay.
No, seriously, there are many times, especially in a girl's life, I mean, the water gets quiet. You know, you think about a river, the water gets quiet and deep and moves slowly. And there's other times that it is very tumultuous and very, there's so many rapids and noise and it's dangerous and it's scary. But you will make it. And when we make sure that we keep our relationships clean, meaning, when we do something wrong as parents, we apologize to our daughters and then our daughters apologize to us when it's their turn.
Okay,
loving,
now with that, all right, with that, because there would be some parents that might say, well, that's showing that you're weak, though. Can you help people understand why it's important for your children to see you're willing to be wrong as well and ask forgiveness? Why is that so important?
Well, to me, Jason, it's very simple, and here's how it works. Everything that I do, everything that I say, I am modeling to my children, in this case, my daughters, everything I do, everything I say, I am modeling to them. If you think about it as a parent, everything that we say and do, we are modeling how we want our children to be in adulthood. Everything we say, everything we do. So if I'm one that is too proud, way too proud to ever show weakness, then don't expect that child to ever be any different than you are. You see what I mean? Are you
following? Oh yes, absolutely.
If I don't ever ask forgiveness from the girls, and if they see that I make mistakes, but I never ask for forgiveness. Okay, how is that going to affect them when they are married and they have a husband and they have children? The next step that is even more crucial, Jason, is this. If my girls don't ever see me humbling myself and admitting my wrong and asking for forgiveness, then this would be my question. Then why would a child, again, in my situation, daughter, why would a daughter humble herself before the Heavenly Father, admit her mistake, ask for forgiveness, and ask for cleansing, and yieldedness and humility before God. Why would she do that if she has never, ever, ever seen her parents do that? And to me, the answer is she won't. If I don't, she won't. And I think that's the responsibility of the parent.
Yes. Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that is some awesome, just information to give. And everybody, I'm sitting down here with Mike Silva, who is author, he's a speaker, all that good stuff. His book is called Number One Man, and you can find out this information to buy his book and things like that at mikesilva.org, mikesilva.org. And, Mike, with this, I want to go just quickly go back to the backpack situation here, too. If you can, tell us a little bit more. Where did that idea come from?
It actually came, I felt like it actually came from Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, because, you know, they do the shoe box, the Christmas box, and they do it at Christmas time. And of course, there's millions of Americans that everybody does it. Everybody does it at the same time. It's something very affordable. It's something very tangible. It's something that the entire family can engage in. And you simply, as you know, you simply buy some small Christmas gifts that fit inside of a shoebox, and you either buy them for a little boy or for a little girl. Mm-hmm. And then you send them to Samaritan's Purse, and Samaritan's Purse then ships and trucks them to needy countries all over the world. And so the thought came to my mind with these backpacks, Jason. I thought to myself, you know, we have a tremendous need in this country right now, especially in these economic times. What if we did the same thing with something that would last longer than a simple Christmas gift? What if we could do something that would bless a child and bless a family for a school year? And so that's how we got the idea of providing all of the things that are required for schools these days, because the expenses are mounting. I mean, there's requirements. You've got to have this and a certain amount of paper and a certain amount of binders, and you've got to have a protractor, and you've got to have a ruler, and you've got to have crayons, and you've got to have all of these things. And there are some families, especially maybe our immigrant families, and that's all brand new news to them.
Yeah.
In the countries that they came from, they didn't have to provide all of those things, you know, because the children did without.
Right,
so,
right.
Anyway, that's where the idea came from. And then we begin to dream about how the church could use it for evangelism, to connect with new families, to connect with the not yet convinced people, not yet convinced that Jesus Christ is God's one and only son. So we really began to dream about that and thought, wow, this could be an idea, very simple, very doable, that every American Christian family could do something for somebody else.
Yeah, I really like what you're doing there. And I'm sitting down, friend, with Mike Silva. He's from Mike Silva International. MikeSilva.org is where you can find out information. And there's so much that you are doing out there. My goodness. I also see you do festivals around, like, the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Liberia. My goodness, can you share on those, too? You are quite the busy guy, like I said.
We're just grateful for the opportunity. I mean, it's a tremendous privilege from the Lord to be able to serve Him and represent Him. But if people go to our website, as you've so graciously said, MikeSilva.org, O-R-G, then people can just click on the different festivals and kind of get a report. Basically, our festivals are, of course, 100% pure evangelistic outreach. Lifting high the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only Son of the living God, and that salvation is found through Him and through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And so if you go on our website there and just click on festival reports, and you can see some of the things that we've done. And And you know, Jason, I invite any of your listeners that are listening that would say, "Hey, I want to go do a mission trip somewhere." Then if that's what they would like to do, they could go to our website and write and tell us that, and we can begin the process.
Excellent. You know, let's say one of our listeners is listening and, you know, they go to your website, they're liking it, and, you know, they do want to get involved more. And let's say they actually want to get involved in a way of maybe helping you out financially. How can they do that?
Wow, that would be a first. But if they did, I mean, again, just going to the website, I think there's even a button you can click there. That it says something about support or donate or something like that. And of course we're our organization, of course, is a 501c3 tax exempt organization, and we are in the charter membership of the ECFA, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability.
Okay.
So so people can give with confidence. They can give knowing that that the organization is larger than just one person and a board of directors and, you know, and multiple staff people. It's we're being watched and audited and monitored by, you know, state organizations, federal organizations, and then in the Christian world, by ECFA, again, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It is the largest, as you know, the largest Christian financial watchdog organization on the planet.
Yep.
So we count it a privilege to be a part of, be under their watch care. Yep. Also.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason I ask you about the support is because I keep looking on your website. I keep seeing what's going on. I mean, Mike, these festivals look huge. Yeah. I mean, all the people that are there, I mean, you are reaching so many people, and I just hope some people would wake up and say, you know what, if God's calling me to help out, I really hope they do, because, I mean, if you can, maybe give us just a little testimony from one of these festivals so people understand it truly is impacting the world.
Well, we count it a real privilege. You know, as they say in real estate, Jason, location, location, location. We found the very same to be true when it comes to our festivals, our evangelistic festivals. We're very careful where we go. We normally don't go to capital cities or even second-tier cities. You know, so in this country, it would be, you know, we don't go to Chicago, we don't go to San Francisco, we don't go to the Los Angeleses of the world.
Okay.
We go to the smaller places. Basically, that are, I'm going to say, anywhere from 100,000 to 400,000 people. And so in many countries of the world, those places are not even on the map.
Oh.
And we go there because if they're not on the map, they're not on anybody's radar. So we go places where, frankly, the spiritual fishing is unbelievable, because nobody has ever come into the city to do what we do. That is, unite all the evangelical churches, have extended volumes of time praying for harvest in that city, asking Almighty God to give us favor with city officials and people and the churches and all of that. And then we come in with contemporary Christian music in the language of the people where we're going. And Jesus, the Lord has allowed us to be able to present the gospel to four individuals for every $1 given.
Hmm.
So you start getting up into those ratios, and you kind of shake your head, and you go, wow.
Yeah.
So that's why they're not going to, you know, to Pittsburgh and to Philadelphia and all that, because there's no way the spiritual ROI, the return on investment, would be there in the United States like it is overseas. So,
yeah.
So that's why we go there. We feel like it's a bigger bang for the buck for our
mm-hmm.
givers, and that means a lot to us. But if four people can come to know Christ and be exposed to the gospel for $1, for 25 cents a head, then to us, we say, okay, that's where we want to invest our time and our effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Friend, I've been sitting down here with Mike Silva, and he is with Mike Silva International. You can find out information at mikesilva.org. He is the author of Number One Man. Looks like an incredible book. Personally, I have not read it yet, but I do have four daughters myself. You don't even know that, Mike.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Good for you.
I actually have two boys, then four girls, back to back. Very exciting.
Okay.
On my house. And so,
wow.
So I just want to encourage you, Mike, keep doing the great work that you are doing. And friend, don't forget about the backpacks as well. You can find out information there on the website as well, mikesilva.org. And Mike, we have about 2 minutes to go, and I always try to finish up with this question. If there was just one thing you could tell our listeners that God is either revealing to you or you've been studying about or just that is beyond important, and you want to share that with our listeners, what would that one thing be?
The word for me, Jason, would be volume. And I just have, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I see this. The more of the Word of God that I take in, so volume, the volume of time that I invest in reading the Word and spending time with the Lord and in prayer, the more time, little bit of time in the Word yields little bit of blessing. More time in the Word and in prayer is more blessing. And it may sound trite, but I'm telling you, Jason, I have found it to be true. More time, volumes of time in the Word, volumes of time, quiet before God in prayer, it yields volume of blessing, massive amount of transformation in our personal lives. And so that's what I would encourage if people said, hey, just give me, as you just said, just tell me just one thing to do. It's keep your wallet in your pocket, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't even turn on your computer and go to our website. This is what I would say. Get the Bible out, get a highlighter pen, and start reading, and have a notepad, and write your prayers down, and start committing that to the Lord. Little bit of prayer, little bit of power. More prayer, more power. Much prayer, much power. And that's what I'm finding. I mean, forgive me, I've been walking with the Lord for a lot of years, been in the ministry for 31 years. I'm just now coming to the place where I say, okay, I knew that in my head, but right now in my life, that's where I'm living right there. Volume, that's the word. Let's get after it. As believers, let's walk with Him. I mean, if the church is no different than the world, why would the world want to be a part of the church? So my challenge to your listeners would be this. Join me. Come on, join me. Let's get before God. Let's camp in His presence, and let's take in more of the Word, spend more time in prayer than we ever have before in our lives.
Well, friend, you have been sitting down with me and Mike Silva. This guy obviously is a brother in Christ, and Mike, you and I are definitely of one spirit, one mind.
Thank you.
It is very exciting to be talking to you. And yes, you are a motivating kind of a person. That's exciting. But what I'm so glad to hear from you is that you are willing to give all the credit to God. So we thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Well, thank
Amen.
You. Jason, you're so gracious. Thanks for having us on today.
You bet. Praise the Lord. And everybody can find out information at mikesilva.org, and we'll see you next time.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.